Chapter 10. Kate was carrying the last of the cardboard boxes to the recycling bins outside the apartment building on Thursday evening when she saw Luke's pickup turn onto Spruce Street. He came to a grinding halt at the curb, vaulted out of the cab, and stood there scowling. His features were contorted, but for the life of her, Kate couldn't understand why he was so irritated. Didn't he tell her to move? Wasn't this what he wanted? She was about to make her presence known, but before she could act, Luke brought his fist down on the bonnet. She heard the sound from where she was standing. It must have smarted because he rubbed his knuckles, gazing intently at the red brick building. Then, tucking his hands in the back pockets of his jeans, he squared his shoulders and strode toward it. He stopped abruptly, then retreated to his truck. Opening the door, he balanced one foot on the side rail, as if he was about to leap into the cab. Kate leaned forward on the tips of her toes and stretched out her hand to stop him. It took everything in her not to rush forward. She was afraid she'd burst into tears. Viewing Luke's behavior had touched something deep within her. If Luke had planned to drive away, he apparently changed his mind, because he slammed the door shut and resolutely faced the building again. Knowing the time to make her move was now, Kate casually turned the corner.
Kate!
Luke, she said, pretending surprise. For a moment, Luke didn't say a word.
I just got back to the ranch and discovered that the main house was empty. I thought you'd be there when I returned.
Mrs. Jackson said I could have the apartment Monday, and since Rory, Clay, and Skip were able to help me move, I couldn't see any reason to delay.
You might have told me.
Kate lowered her eyes, feeling a little guilty since they departed on such unfriendly terms. I tried, but you'd already left for New Mexico.
Bill did say you wanted to talk to me.
He conceded. Would you like to come inside? She asked, opening the door for him.
All right.
He sounded reluctant. Once in the apartment, they stood looking at each other, and Kate felt suddenly awkward. Luke's eyes were dark and luminous, and his face had never seemed so dear to her. Familiar, yet in some exciting new way, not fully known. She would have liked nothing better than to walk into his arms. She wanted to tell him how sorry she was about the way they'd parted, to tell him she was ready to accept his proposal on any terms, but her pride made that impossible.
Nice place,
he said when the silence became painful. He tucked his fingers in his back pockets again. Can I take your coat?
Please.
He took it off and gave it to her. She motioned toward the sofa. Would you like to sit down? He nodded and sat on the edge of the cushion. Leaning forward, he balanced his hands between his knees and rotated his hat with his fingers. Luke had sat on this very same sofa 1,000 times, but he'd never looked as uncomfortable as he did now.
I came to apologize for the last time we spoke.
Oh, Luke, she whispered, sitting in the overstuffed chair across from him. I felt bad, too. Why do we argue like that? Some days I feel like we're growing further and further apart, and I don't want that.
I'd like to suggest we put an end to this nonsense, but you've made your views plain enough.
You still want to take care of me?
I don't think that's so wrong.
I know. She sighed, tired of repeating the same arguments. But I'm fully capable of doing that myself.
Right,
he said with dead softness.
You took care of yourself pretty well during that snowstorm, didn't you?
Why don't you throw Eric Wilson in my face while you're at it? I thought you came because you regretted our last argument, but it looks to me as if you're trying to start another one. All right, he shouted. I'll stop. You asked me not to bring up the distasteful subject of marriage, and I agreed. It's just that... He clamped his mouth shut.
We're better off dropping the subject entirely.
He finished stiffly. I hate when we argue, Kate said.
So do I, princess.
Although his tone was light, Kate heard the distress in his voice. It filled her with regret, and she longed for something comforting to say, something that would ease this awkwardness between them and restore a sense of balance to their relationship.
Do you need anything, Kate?
No, I'm fine, she rushed to assure him.
She might occasionally date the wrong men and take foolish risks in snowstorms, but she could manage her own life. Luke glanced around the room, then slowly nodded as if accepting the truth of her words. It was kind of you to stop by. I mean, it's good to see you, and I really am grateful you wanted to clear the air, too.
Are you saying you missed me while I was away?
She had, terribly. But until that moment, Kate hadn't been willing to admit it, even to herself. Unconsciously, she'd been waiting for Thursday, hoping to hear from Luke, but not really expecting to. For the past few days, she'd worked frantically to unpack her things and make her apartment presentable. And all along, it had been an effort to prove to Luke how efficient and capable she actually was. After falling on her face so many times, she wanted this transition from the ranch house to her first apartment to go off without a hitch. It was a matter of pride. They were like polite strangers with each other. Kate couldn't think of a single clever remark or probing question to reduce the tension between them.
"Have you eaten?"
Luke asked brusquely.
"I thought I'd take you to dinner. I realize I'm not giving you much notice, and I read somewhere that women don't like a man to take things for granted. So if you don't want to go, I'll understand."
He sounded as though he assumed she'd reject his invitation. "I'd love to have dinner with you," she said, unable to hide a smile. Luke seemed shocked by her easy acquiescence. Kate stood up, stretching luxuriously. "If you'll give me a moment, I'll freshen up." She couldn't keep the happiness out of her voice. Luke rose then, and his presence seemed to dwarf her small living room. Only a few scant inches separated them. With one finger, he tilted up her chin and looked deep into her eyes.
"You honestly missed me?" he whispered.
For some reason, her throat squeezed shut, and Kate was forced to answer him without words. She cradled his face between both hands and gazed up at him, nodding fervently. Luke's eyes darkened, and she thought he meant to kiss her. Just when she was prepared to slip into his arms and raise her mouth to his, he pulled loose from her light grasp and stepped back. Kate swallowed her disappointment.
"I was thinking about that pizza parlor in Riversdale,"
he said gruffly.
"Pizza would be wonderful," Kate said.
"Then it's settled."
Kate didn't bother to change clothes, but ran a brush through her hair and refreshed her makeup. A few minutes later, she was ready to leave. Luke stood at the door, and as she approached him, his appreciative look sent small flutters of awareness through her body. Companionably, they drove the 30 miles to Riversdale. By unspoken agreement, they avoided any subject that would cause them to disagree. The restaurant, Pizza Mania, was known throughout the county for its excellent Italian food. The room was dimly lit, and the wooden tables were covered with red checkered cloths. Since it was a weeknight, the restaurant wasn't especially busy. Luke guided her to a table in the middle of the homey room. Service was prompt, and they quickly placed their order for a large sausage and black olive pizza. Kate also ordered a raw vegetable platter with yogurt herb dip, and she laughed at the disdainful expression on Luke's face. Then she laughed again.
"What's so funny now?"
"I was remembering the last time I ate pizza from here. It was when Rory had just arrived and she and I were making dinner for Clay and Skip. I made a lemon meringue pie and Rory spent the entire afternoon preparing this fancy seafood dish."
"Where does the pizza come in?"
Kate told Luke about the disastrous dinner, and he smiled slightly, shaking his head.
"Rory must have been devastated."
"Actually, she was a pretty good sport about the whole thing. We called Pizza Mania, ordered two large pizzas that Skip offered to pick up, and afterward, we sat around the piano for a while." That night was when she'd realized how hard Clay was fighting not to fall in love with Rory. All evening, he'd tried not to even glance in her direction. Then later, when he drove Kate home, he'd said barely a word and gently kissed her cheek after he'd walked her to the door. A peck on the cheek, the way he'd kiss a younger sister.
"What's wrong?" Luke asked.
"Nothing." Kate summoned a smile. "What makes you ask?" She was relieved at the appearance of their vegetable appetizer, immediately reaching for a carrot stick.
"Your eyes looked kind of sad just now."
Kate concentrated on munching her carrot, astonished at the way Luke so often seemed to know what she was thinking. But then, sometimes he didn't. That night was when I knew I was losing Clay to Rory. My whole world was about to fall apart, and I felt powerless to do anything about it. It didn't mean I stopped trying, of course. It hurt too much to accept without putting up a fight. She paused and helped herself to a zucchini strip. Enough about me. It seems I'm the only one we ever discuss. How was your trip to New Mexico? She asked brightly, determined to change the subject.
Good.
He didn't elaborate. His eyes held hers, the mood warm and comfortable.
There are going to be a few changes around the Circle L in the coming months. I don't want you to be surprised when you find out I'm adding a couple of outbuildings and doing some remodeling on the house.
Although he spoke in a conversational tone, Kate wasn't fooled. The Circle L belongs to you now. I expect there'll be plenty of changes, but don't worry about offending me or Dad. He nodded, and his eyes brightened with his dreams for the future.
I intend to turn it into one of the top cattle ranches on the West Coast.
I'm sure you'll do it, Luke. And she was. He seemed pleased by her confidence in him. Kate couldn't help believing in Luke. In the 10 years he'd worked for her father, he'd initiated several successful breeding programs. With each passing year, Devon had turned more and more of the ranch business over to Luke. Her father had become a figurehead. Kate had often heard Devon saying that he couldn't understand why Luke would continue working for him when he was completely capable of maintaining his own spread. At one time, Kate had thought money was the issue, but that obviously wasn't the case. "Why do you delay buying your own ranch for so long?" Kate asked, just as their pizza arrived. Their waitress remained standing at their table and studied them so blatantly that Luke turned to her.
"Is something wrong?"
he asked sharply. "No, not at all. Enjoy your dinner." She backed away from their table and hurried over to the counter, where two other employees were waiting. Almost immediately, the three of them huddled together and started whispering. Luke chose to ignore their waitress's strange behavior and lifted a steaming piece, thick with melted cheese and spicy sausage, onto her plate. Then he served himself.
"Now, where were we?"
Luke murmured. "I asked why you didn't buy your own ranch before now."
"You don't want to know the answer to that, princess."
"Of course I do. I wouldn't have brought it up otherwise," she insisted.
"Fine."
Luke settled back in his chair. He looked at her, eyes thoughtful.
"I had a minor problem. I was in love with the boss's daughter, and she was crazy about me, only she didn't know it. In fact, she'd gotten herself engaged to someone else. I was afraid that if I moved away, she'd never realize how I felt, or how she did. And frankly, I didn't think I could ever love anyone the way I do her."
Kate focused her attention on her meal. The lump in her throat was almost choking her. "You're right about me not loving Clay," she told him softly. No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't raise her eyes high enough to meet his.
"What did you say?"
You were right about me and Clay. I could never feel for him the things a wife should feel for her husband. I'd adored him for years, but that love was just a teenage fantasy. She was well aware of the seriousness of her admission. The room seemed to go still. The music from the jukebox faded. The clatter from the kitchen dimmed, and the voices from the people around them seemed to disappear altogether.
"I didn't think I'd ever hear you admit that,"
Luke said, and his face filled with tenderness. "I tried to tell you the night after I had dinner with Clay and Rory, but you were so angry with me, because I was moving." She laughed, hoping to break the unexpected tension that had leaped between them.
"Does this also mean you're admitting you love me?"
"I've never had a problem with that." Kate was interrupted by an elderly man who strolled up to their table. With considerable ceremony, he lifted a violin to his chin and played a bittersweet love song. "I didn't know they had strolling violinists here," Kate said when the man had finished. Everyone in the restaurant stopped to applaud.
"This next song is dedicated to the two of you," the man announced. "That the love in your hearts will blossom into a bouquet of May flowers."
It wasn't until he'd finished the third song that Kate noticed he didn't go to any of the other tables. He seemed to be playing only for them. Some of the customers had apparently noticed this too and gathered behind Luke and Kate in order to get a better view of the musician. "Thank you," Kate said as the last notes faded. The man lowered his instrument to his side.
"You two have become quite a sensation in Nightingale and beyond. We at Pizza Mania are honored that you've chosen our restaurant for a romantic evening. We want to do our part to bring you together in wedded bliss."
"And you're suggesting the month of May?" Kate asked, referring to his comment about a bouquet of flowers.
"That would be an excellent choice,"
the violinist said, grinning broadly.
"It's time we left,"
Luke said, frowning. He pulled out his wallet, but the violinist stopped him.
"Please, your pizza's on the house. We're delighted that you chose to dine in our humble establishment."
From the tight set of Luke's mouth, Kate could tell he wanted to argue. But more urgent was his need to escape. He took her by the hand and charged for the door.
"Your leftover pizza!"
The waitress ran after them, handing Luke a large white box as she cast Kate an envious glance. Luke couldn't seem to get out of the car park fast enough. Kate waited until they were on the road before she spoke. "So this is the first time that's happened to you?" Luke laughed shortly.
"Not really, only I didn't pick up on it as quickly as you did. Several people have made odd comments about certain months, but until now, I didn't get what they were actually saying."
"It's funny when you think about it. Half the county's got money riding on our wedding day, and Fred Garner's making a killing raising and lowering the odds." Suddenly, the lottery was the most hilarious thing Kate had ever heard of, and she started to laugh. She slumped against the side of the cab, holding her sides. She was laughing so hard her stomach hurt. Tears ran down her cheeks, and she wiped them away as she tried to regain control. The wedding lottery and everyone's interference wasn't all that funny, but Luke's disgruntled reaction was.
"Come on, Luke," she said, still chuckling. "There's a lot of humor in this situation."
He snorted.
"Don't be such a killjoy. I've been getting free advice from the butcher, Sally Daly, the paperboy, and just about everyone else in town. It's only fair that you put up with a few of their comments, too."
"One might think you'd take some of that free advice," he muttered.
"What?" she cried. "And ruin their fun?"
Luke was oddly quiet for the remainder of the trip into Nightingale. He stopped at her building, walked her to her door with barely a word, then turned and walked away. No good night kiss, no mention of seeing her again. This was the last thing she'd expected. For the entire drive home, she'd been imagining how good it would feel when Luke kissed her. She decided to invite him in for coffee, hoping he'd accept. But this was even worse than Clay's peck on the cheek all those months ago.
"Luke!"
He stopped abruptly at the sound of her voice, then turned back. His eyes seemed to burn into hers as he came toward her. And she stumbled into his arms. His mouth, hot and hungry, sought hers in a kiss that scorched her senses. His fingers plunged into her hair, releasing the French braid and plowing through the twisted strands of blonde hair. Instinctively, Kate reached up and slid her arms around his shoulders, feeling so much at home in his arms that it frightened her. She trembled with the knowledge, but she didn't have time to analyze her feelings. Not when her world was in chaos. She clung to him as though she were rocketing into a fathomless sky. Luke broke away from her, his face a study of hope and confusion.
"I never know where I stand with you, Kate."
With that, he stroked her hair and quickly returned to his truck. Kate was still reeling from the effects of Luke's kiss. If she hadn't leaned against her door, she might have fallen onto the walkway, so profound was her reaction.
"Luke,"
she called, shocked by how weak her voice sounded. "Would you like to come inside for coffee? We could talk about things." Slowly, a smile eased its way across his handsome features.
"I don't dare, princess, because the way I feel right now, I might not leave until morning. If then."
Flustered by his words, Kate unlocked her door and let herself inside. She gulped a deep breath and stood in the middle of the living room with her hand over her rampaging heart.
"You're in love with him, Kate Logan," she told herself. "Head over heels in love with a man and fighting him every step of the way."
Groaning, she buried her face in her hands. She didn't understand why she'd been fighting him so hard. She did realize that Luke wouldn't have spent years building up her father's ranch if he hadn't loved her. He could have left any time, gone anywhere to buy his own ranch, but he'd stayed at the Circle L. He honestly loved her. Now she knew what she wanted, but she didn't know what to do about it. She guessed Luke was planning to court her, to use that charming old-fashioned term. If so, one more dinner with him would be enough. They'd be officially engaged by the end of the evening. She'd bet on it. To her disappointment, Kate didn't hear from him the following day. Fridays were generally busy around the ranch, so she decided the next move would have to come from her. Early Saturday morning, she compiled a grocery list, intent on inviting Luke over for a home-cooked meal. She was reviewing her cookbooks, searching for a special dessert recipe, when she was suddenly distracted by the memory of their kiss. Closing her eyes, she relived the way she'd felt that night. She smiled to herself, admitting how eager she was to feel that way again. If only she'd been listening to her heart instead of her pride. She tried phoning Luke, but there was no answer, so she decided to do the shopping first. She put on her coat, hat, and gloves, and walked the few blocks to the Safeway store. It must have been her imagination, but it seemed that everyone stopped to watch her as she pushed her cart down the aisles. When she'd finished buying her groceries, she headed over to the pharmacy and bought a couple of scented candles. Once again, everyone seemed to stop and stare at her.
"Kate,"
Sally Daly said, hurrying toward her. The older woman was shaking her head, eyes brimming with sympathy.
"How are you doing, dear?"
"Fine," Kate said, puzzled. Sally's mouth fell open.
"You don't know, do you?"
"Know what?"
"Luke Rivers took Beth Hammond to dinner yesterday, and the two of them danced all night at the Red Bull. Why, everyone in town's talking about it. People are saying he's lost patience with you and is going to marry Beth."
"Really, dear, every woman in town thinks you'd be crazy to let a man like Luke Rivers get away." Kate was so shocked she could hardly breathe.
"I see," she murmured, pretending it didn't matter. "You poor child," Sally said compassionately.
"Don't let your pride get in the way."
"I won't," Kate promised, barely able to find her voice.
"I do worry about you, Kate. I have this terrible feeling that you're going to end up 30 and all alone."
Chapter 11. 30 and all alone. The words echoed in Kate's mind as she walked the short distance to her apartment. Tears burned her eyes, but somehow she dredged up the courage to smile and assure Sally that Luke was free to date whomever he pleased. In fact, she'd even managed to laugh lightly and say that she hoped Luke's dating Beth would finally put an end to all this wedding lottery nonsense. Moving at a fast pace, she kept her head lowered and went directly back to her apartment, clutching her purchases. By the time she let herself in the door, her face was streaked with tears. No doubt Sally would spread the story of her meeting with Kate all over town by evening. Not that it made much difference. By now, the residents of Nightingale should be accustomed to hearing gossip about her and Luke. Luke, at the mere thought of him, her heart constricted painfully. He'd given up on her, and now she'd lost him. Only it hurt so much more than when Clay had broken their engagement. Wiping the tears from her eyes, she struggled to take in everything that had happened in the past few weeks. It seemed every time she found her balance and secured her footing, something would send her teetering again. Would it never end? Was her life going to be an endless struggle of one emotional pain after another? She set her bags on the floor, and without bothering to remove her coat, slumped into the overstuffed chair.
"Okay," she said aloud. "Luke took Beth Hammond out to dinner and dancing. It doesn't have to mean anything."
But it did. In her heart, Kate was sure Luke planned to do exactly as Sally suggested. He'd made it plain from the first that he wanted a wife, and like a fool, Kate had repeatedly turned him down. He loved her, or so he claimed, and Kate had doubted him. Now she wondered if perhaps he didn't love her enough. But over and over again, Luke had insisted she needed him, and he'd been right. Closing her eyes, she tried to picture her life without Luke. A chill ran down her spine as an intense wave of loneliness swept over her. Someone pounded at the door, but before Kate could answer it, Luke strode into the apartment. Having to face him this way, when she was least prepared, put her at a clear disadvantage. Hurriedly, she painted on a bright smile.
"Hello, Luke," she said, trying to sound breezy and amused. "What's this about you and Beth Hammond?"
"You heard already?"
He looked stunned. "Good heavens, yes. You don't expect something like that to stay quiet, do you?"
"When? Who told you?"
"I went to the grocery store and ran into Sally Daly."
"That explains it,"
he said, pacing her carpet with abrupt, impatient steps. He stopped suddenly and turned to study her.
"It doesn't bother you that I'm seeing Beth?"
"Not at all," she lied.
"Should it?
Would you like some coffee?"
"No."
Desperate for a chance to escape and compose herself, Kate almost ran into the kitchen and poured herself a cup, keeping her back to him all the while.
"You seem to be downright happy about this,"
he accused, following her into the small windowless room. "Of course I'm pleased. I think it's wonderful when two people fall in love, don't you?"
"I'm not in love with Beth," he said angrily.
"Actually, I think dating Beth is a wonderful way to kill all the rumors floating around about us," she said, finally turning toward him. She held her coffee cup close. Rubbing his neck, Luke continued his pacing in the kitchen.
"I thought you might be jealous."
"Me?" She refused to admit she'd been dying inside from the moment Sally had told her. "Now, why would I feel like that?"
"I don't know," Luke barked. "Why would you?"
Before Kate could answer, he stormed out of the apartment, leaving her so frustrated she could have cried. "You should have told him how you feel," she reprimanded herself. "Why are you such a fool when it comes to Luke Rivers? Why?
"I saw Luke yesterday," Rory said, watching Kate closely as they sat across from each other in a booth at Nellie's.
"That's nice," she said, pretending indifference and doing a good job of it.
"He was with Beth Hammond."
Kate's breath caught in her throat at the unexpected rush of pain.
"I see."
"Do you?" Rory inquired. "I swear I could shake the pair of you. I've never met two more stubborn people in my life. You look like one of the walking wounded, and Luke's got a chip on his shoulder the size of a California redwood."
"I'm sure you're mistaken."
Kate concentrated on stirring her coffee and avoided Rory's eyes. Her heart felt like a ball of lead.
"When's the last time you two talked?"
"A couple of days ago."
"Honestly, Kate, I can't understand what's wrong with you. Clay and I thought, we hoped everything would fall into place after you moved to the apartment. Now it seems exactly the opposite has happened."
"Luke's free to date whomever he pleases, just the way I am."
"There's only one person you want, and that's Luke Rivers, and we both know it,"
Rory said with an exasperated sigh.
"I shouldn't have said that. It's just that I hate the idea of you two being so miserable when you're in love with each other."
"Is love always this painful?" Kate asked, her question barely audible.
Rory shrugged.
"It was with Clay and me, and sometimes I feel it must be for everyone sooner or later. Think about it, Kate. If you really love Luke, why are you fighting the very thing you want most?"
"I don't know," she admitted reluctantly.
When they parted shortly afterward, Kate felt a new sense of certainty and resolve. She did love Luke, and if she didn't do something soon, she was going to lose him. She drove to the Circle L, her heart in her throat. Luke's truck was parked behind the house, and she left her car beside it, hurrying through the cold to the back door. Luke didn't respond to her knock, which didn't surprise her, since it was unusual for him to be in at this time of day.
but she couldn't find him outside either, and even Bill didn't know where he was. Making a rapid decision, she let herself into the house and started preparations for the evening meal. It gave her a way of passing the time. Dinner was in the oven, and she was busy making a salad when the back door opened and Luke walked into the kitchen. Apparently, he hadn't noticed her car because he stopped dead, shock written on every feature, when he saw her standing at the sink. Kate held her breath for a moment, then dried her hands on the dish towel she'd tucked into her waistband. She struggled to give the impression that she was completely at ease, tried to act as though she made dinner for him every evening. "Hello, Luke," she said to break the silence that had been growing heavier by the second. He blinked.
"I suppose you're looking for an explanation."
Kate wasn't sure what he meant.
"Taking Beth out on Friday night was a mistake."
"Then why'd you do it?"
"So you'd be jealous. The night you and I went out, I was furious at the way you started laughing and talking as if you were never going to marry me. I wanted you to know you weren't the only fish in the sea. Only my plan backfired."
"It did?" Not as far as Kate was concerned. She'd been pretty darn worried.
"That wasn't all that went wrong. Beth's eye was in town on Saturday and started following me,"
he explained.
"I swear I had no intention of seeing her again, but before I knew it, her arm was linked with mine and we were strolling through the middle of town together."
"Beth's a nice girl." He frowned.
"Yes, I suppose she is. I'd forgotten it doesn't bother you who I date. You've never been one for jealousy."
"I was so jealous, I wanted to die."
"You were? You could have fooled me."
"Believe me, I tried to," Kate murmured.
"So what are you doing here?"
"I made dinner," Kate said sheepishly. She'd admitted how she felt about Luke seeing Beth, and she couldn't stop there. "I've got pork chops in the oven, along with scalloped potatoes and an acorn squash," she rattled off without pausing for breath. Then, gathering her resolve, she casually added, "And if you're still asking, I'll marry you." Luke stared at her. When he finally spoke, he sounded strangely calm.
"What did you just say?"
"There's pork chops and potatoes and..."
"Not that. The part about marrying me."
She struggled to hold on to what remained of her tattered pride. "If you're still asking me to marry you, the answer is yes."
"I'm still asking."
Kate dropped her gaze. "You've been right about so much. I do need you. I guess I was waiting for you to admit you needed me, only you never did." Luke rubbed a hand over his face.
"Not need you?"
he repeated, his voice filled with shock and wonder. "I think my life would be an empty shell without you, Kate.
I couldn't bear the thought of living one day to the next if you weren't at my side to share everything with me. All the good things that are in store for us. I've waited so long, Kate."
"You do love me, don't you?" she whispered. For a long, long moment, Luke said nothing.
"I tried not to. For years, I stood by helplessly, watching you break out in hives with excitement every time you saw Clay Franklin. I realized it was a schoolgirl crush, but you never seemed to get over him. Instead of improving, things got worse. How could I let you know how I felt?"
"Couldn't you have said something? Anything?" A flicker of pain crossed his face.
"No. You were so infatuated with Clay, I didn't dare. It wouldn't have done any good. Although God only knows how you managed not to figure it out yourself. The first day Rory met me, she guessed."
"Rory knew all along?" Luke shook his head in bewildered amusement.
"We were quite a pair a few months back. Rory in love with Clay and me crazy about you. All this time I thought I'd kept my feelings secret, and then I discovered everyone in town knew."
"Beth Hammond didn't."
"No, but she should have. I've never wanted anyone but you, Kate Logan. I haven't for years. Somehow I always kept hoping you'd see the light."
"Oh, Luke." She took a step toward him, her eyes full of emotion. "Are you going to stand way over there on the other side of the room?" For every step Kate took, Luke managed three. When they reached each other, she put her arms around his waist, hugging him tight.
She felt the beating of his heart and closed her eyes, succumbing to the wave of love that seemed about to overwhelm her. Luke's hand was gentle on her hair.
"Do you love me, Kate?"
She couldn't speak, so she nodded her head wildly. Her hands framed his face, and she spread light, eager kisses over his mouth and nose and eyes, letting her lips explain what was in her heart.
"I love you,"
he whispered.
"If you marry me, I promise I'll do everything I can to make you happy."
His eyes shone with delight and a kind of humility that touched Kate's very soul. Gone was the remoteness he displayed so often these past few weeks.
"Oh, Luke, I can hardly wait to be your wife," she said.
"Didn't you say something about a December wedding?"
"Kate, that's only a few weeks from now."
"Yes, I know. But Christmas is such a lovely time of year for a wedding. We'll decorate the church with holly, and all the bridesmaids will wear long red dresses."
"Kate, you mean it, don't you?"
His voice was low and husky.
"I've never meant anything more. I love you, Luke Rivers. We're going to have a wonderful life together."
He kissed her then, with a hunger that spoke of his years of longing. Dragging his mouth from hers, he buried it in the curve of her neck.
"I want children, Kate. I want to fill this home with so much love that the walls threaten to burst with it."
For a breathless moment, they did nothing more than gaze at each other as they shared that dream. Kate smiled up at him, and as her hands mapped his face, loving each strong feature, she was astonished at how easily this happiness had come to her once she'd let go of her pride. Luke's mouth settled on hers, his kiss almost reverent, as though he couldn't yet believe she was in his home and eager to be his wife. As Kate wrapped her arms around his neck, her glance fell on the calendar. She seemed to recall that Pastor Wilkins had placed a sizable wager on the 15th of December.
That sounded good to Kate. Very good, indeed.
Epilogue. The sun shone clear and bright in the late July afternoon, 2 years after Rory Campbell's car had broken down near Nightingale. Kate was making a fresh pitcher of iced tea when Rory knocked on the back door.
"Come on in," Kate called. "The screen door's unlocked."
A moment later, Rory entered the kitchen, looking slightly frazzled.
"How did your afternoon at the library go?"
Kate asked as she added ice cubes to the tall pitcher.
"Very well, thanks."
"Catherine's still sleeping," Kate told her.
Rory's eyes softened as she gazed out at the newly constructed patio where her baby slept under the shade of the huge oak tree.
"It was such a lovely afternoon, I kept her outside."
Kate wiped her hands dry. She poured them each a glass of iced tea and carried a tray of tea and cookies onto the patio. The 9-month-old infant stirred when Rory stood over the portable crib and protectively placed her hand on the sleeping baby's back. When she turned, her eyes fell on Kate's protruding abdomen.
"How are you feeling?"
"Like a blimp." Kate's hands rested on her swollen stomach. "The doctor told me it'll probably be another 2 weeks."
"2 weeks," Rory said sympathetically.
"I know, and I was hoping Junior would choose this week to arrive. I swear to you, Rory, when you were pregnant with Catherine, you positively glowed. You made everything seem so easy."
Rory laughed.
"I did? I feel miserable. My legs are swollen, my hands and feet look like they've been inflated. There isn't a single part of my body that's normal-sized anymore."
Rory laughed again.
"The last few weeks are always like that. I think the main difference is that Catherine was born in October, when the weather was much cooler."
With some difficulty, Kate crossed her legs. "I only hope our baby will be as good-natured as Catherine. She barely fussed the whole time she was here.
Her Uncle Skip thinks she's going to start walking soon."
"I think he's right."
Pressing a hand to her ribs, Kate shifted her position. She was finding it difficult to sit comfortably for longer than a few minutes at a time.
"Oh."
Rory set her iced tea aside.
"I almost forgot."
She hurried back to the kitchen and returned with a hardbound children's book.
"I received my first copies of Night Song's Adventures in the mail yesterday.
Kate, I can't even begin to tell you how thrilled I was when I held this book in my hands.
Kate laid the book on her lap and slowly turned the pages. The illustrations are fantastic. They really fit the story.
The reviews have been excellent. One critic said he expected it to become a children's classic, which I realize is ridiculous, but I couldn't help feeling excited about it.
It isn't ridiculous, and I'm sure your publisher knows that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been so eager to buy your second book.
You know, the second sale was every bit as exciting as the first,
Rory said with a smile. Just think, in a few years, our children will be reading your stories and attending school together. They're bound to be the best of friends. Before Kate could respond, the baby woke and they watched, delighted, as she sat up in the portable crib. When she saw her mother sitting next to Kate, she smiled, her dark eyes twinkling. She raised her chubby arms, reaching for Rory. Rory stood and lifted Catherine out of the crib, kissing the little girl's cheeks.
I'd better get her home. Thanks so much for watching Catherine for me. I promised I'd pinch it for the new librarian if she ever needed me, and I didn't think I could refuse her, even though it was at the last minute.
It wasn't any problem, so don't worry. And tell Mary she should visit her sister more often so I get the opportunity to babysit every once in a while.
Call me later and let me know how you're feeling.
Kate nodded. 10 minutes after Rory and Catherine left, Luke drove up and parked behind the house. Standing on the porch, Kate waved to her husband. Luke joined her, placing an arm around what once had been a trim waist, and led the way to the kitchen.
You okay?
His gaze was tender. Kate wasn't sure how to answer that. She was miserable, excited, frightened, eager. So many emotions were coming at her, she didn't know which one to mention first.
Kate?
I feel fine. There was no need to list her complaints, but all of a sudden she felt funny. She didn't know any other way to describe it. As Rory had said, there were a dozen different aches and pains the last few weeks of any pregnancy. Luke kissed her, his mouth soft.
Did you have a busy day with Catherine?
She slept almost the entire time, but I think Rory knew she would. Leaning forward, Kate kissed her husband's jaw. I made some iced tea. Want some?
Please.
When Kate reached inside the cupboard for a glass, a sharp pain split her side. She let out a cry.
Kate?
Clutching her swollen abdomen, Kate stared at Luke. Oh, my goodness, I just felt a pain. Luke paled.
You're in labor?
Smiling, wide-eyed, she nodded slowly. I must be. I didn't expect them to start off so strong. In an instant, Luke was across the kitchen beside her.
Now what?
I think I should call the doctor.
No.
Luke's arms flew out as if that would halt the course of nature.
I'll call. Stay there. Don't move.
But Luke...
For heaven's sake, Kate, don't argue with me now. We're about to have a baby.
He said this as if it were a recent discovery. As he reached for the phone, she saw that he'd gone deathly pale. When he finished talking to the doctor, he gave her a panicked look, then announced that Doc Adams wanted them to go straight to the hospital. As soon as the words left his mouth, he shot to the bedroom, then returned with her suitcase. He halted abruptly when he saw she'd picked up the phone.
Who are you calling?
Dad and Dorothea. I promised I would.
Kate, would you let me do the phoning?
All right. She handed him the receiver and started toward the bedroom to collect the rest of her things. If he thought that talking on the phone was too taxing for her, fine. She'd let him do it. The years had taught her that arguing with Luke was fruitless.
Kate, he yelled, don't wander off.
Luke, I just want to get my things before we leave. A pain began to work its way around her back, and she paused, flattening her hands across her abdomen. She raised her head and smiled up at her husband. Oh, Luke, the baby. Luke dropped the receiver and rushed to her side.
Now?
No. She laughed and touched his face. It'll be hours yet. Oh, I just felt another pain, a bad one. He swallowed hard and gripped both her hands in his own.
I've been looking forward to this moment for 9 months, but I swear to you, Kate, I've never been more frightened in my life.
Don't worry. Her hands caressed his face and she kissed him, offering what reassurance she could. He exhaled noisily, then gave her a brisk little nod. Without warning, he lifted her in his arms, ignoring her protests, and carried her out the door to the truck. Once he settled her in the seat, he returned to the house for her bag. "Luke," she called after him. "I really would like to talk to Dad and Dorothea."
"I'll phone them from the hospital. No more arguing, Kate. I'm in charge here."
Only another sharp pain, and her regard for Luke's feelings kept her from breaking out in laughter. 10 long hours later, Kate lay in the hospital bed, eyes closed in exhaustion. When she opened them, she discovered her father standing over her. Dorothea was next to him, looking as pleased and proud as Kate's father. Devin took his daughter's hand in his own and squeezed it gently.
"How do you feel, little mother?"
"Wonderful. Did they let you see him? Oh, Daddy's so beautiful." Her father nodded. For a moment, he seemed unable to speak.
"Luke's with Matthew now. He looks so big sitting in that rocking chair holding his son."
"I don't think I've ever seen Luke wear an expression quite like that before," Dorothea murmured. "So tender and loving."
Devin concurred with a nod of his head.
"When Luke came into the waiting room to tell us Matthew Devin had been born, there were tears in his eyes. I'll tell you, Kate, that man loves you."
"I know, Dad, and I love him too."
Devin patted her hand.
"You go ahead and rest, princess. Dorothy and I'll be back tomorrow."
When Kate opened her eyes a second time, Luke was there. She held out her hand to him and smiled dreamily.
"I couldn't have done it without you. Thank you for staying with me."
"Staying with you?"
he echoed, his fingers brushing the tousled curls from her face.
"Nothing on earth could have kept me away. I would have done anything to spare you that pain, Kate. Anything."
His voice was raw with the memory of those last hours. Her smile was one of comfort. "It only lasted a little while, and we have a beautiful son to show for it."
"All these months when we've talked about the baby,"
he said, his eyes glazed.
"He seems so unreal to me. And then you were in the delivery room and in so much agony, I felt so helpless. I wanted to help you and there was nothing I could do. Then Matthew was born and, Kate, I looked at him and I swear something happened to my heart. The love I felt for that baby, that tiny person, was so strong, so powerful, I could hardly breathe. I thought I was going to break down right there in front of everyone."
"Oh, Luke.
There's no way I could ever thank you for all you've given me, Kate Rivers."
"Yes, there is," she said with a smile. "Just love me."
"I do,"
he whispered, his voice husky with emotion.
"And I always will."
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of A Country Affair by Debbie Maycumber, featuring A Little Bit Country, performed by Karen White, and Country Bride, performed by Vanessa Johansson, presented by Mira and Harper Audio. A Little Bit Country was produced by B Audio. Country Bride was produced by Dion Audio Services. Executive producers, Suzanne Franco Mitchell and Jennifer Lopes. A Country Affair. Text copyright 2021 by Harlequin Books SA. A Little Bit Country. Text copyright 1990 by Debbie Maycumber. Country Bride. Text copyright 1990 by Debbie Maycumber. Production copyright 2015. 2016, 2021 by Harlequin Enterprises Limited. Used under license with Harlequin Books SA. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.